Well, today's message is meant to be a word of encouragement for the church. God's not finished yet. Don't give up. God's not finished yet. Father, bless this word to our hearts. We thank you for how you've been moving so beautifully in our service today. We thank you for your sweet presence here. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds will be attentive to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. I ask for your help personally, Lord, your anointing upon me, Lord, to speak this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ephesians 2:10, a familiar scripture. We'll start there. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should do, or we should walk in them. The New Living Testament says we are his masterpiece. Instead of workmanship, it uses the word masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. God's a great architect. He's a great artist. He's a great creator, and he's building something. He's fashioning us into a piece of art, a piece of a person for his glory. Can you say amen this morning? A person for his glory, a vessel for his honor and glory. Philippians 1:6, encouragement for the church this morning. Philippians 1:6, and Paul says, I am certain or confident that God who began this good work within you will continue. Everybody say, will continue. Until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Amen. God will finish what he started. Amen. If you let him. If you let him. Amen? Amen. There's a tremendous power and pull in knowing the destiny of God for your life. Knowing that God has a preferred vision for your life is a very powerful thing. We tend to move towards the things that fascinate us. We tend to move towards things that are beautiful, things that bring peace, things that bring wholeness, things that bring understanding to our life, have a pull. Have you noticed that? Have you sensed that things that tend to bring harmony in your life and bring a sense of self-worth and bring a sense of completion in your life are the things that move us? And God has a destiny for your life that is irrevocable. Satan can't stop it. The purpose of God cannot be revoked. God's purpose is that we might grow to full maturity, full freedom. We've been preaching this for years in the church, that God has a vision for your life. He has a purpose that includes you becoming the best person you could be. All that you were meant to be. The destiny that God has for your life. I say this especially to our young people. Even though it doesn't matter how old you are, because God's still working on us. Even at 70 and 80 and 90 years old, with Sister Hermione and Sister Margaret, God bless you. At 90-something years old, God's still working on us. Amen? But young people, you need to know that God has a beautiful vision for your life. He saw you in your mother's womb. He saw you before you were born. And he has a purpose that only you and him can figure out together. Are you with me this morning? It's a plan that only you and he can accomplish together. I felt like this morning that some of us are at an important crossroad in our life. And that you may have felt like you were stuck at this impediment or a wall. You keep hitting the same wall. You've been struggling with, where am I going with my life? Why can't I overcome this one thing? What is this point of discouragement, the prayer that never gets answered, the breakthrough that never happens, the problems I always seem to come back to, no matter how far I go, I always seem to come back to this. I believe this morning God is saying some of you here are one or two decisions away from a breakthrough. Wow. One or two decisions away from a breakthrough. God has a breakthrough. Somebody say, God has a breakthrough for my life. I want to encourage you with the promise of God today. Isaiah 46 says, for what the Lord says, he will bring about. What I have said, I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. What he promised, he will fulfill. Psalm 33, verse 11, Brother Angel quoted this last week, I believe it was, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart to every generation. You can't really stop the purpose of God except if you refuse to cooperate with God. In other words, the devil can't stop it. People can't stop it. Your circumstances really can't stop it, because God is greater than people, greater than the devil, greater than circumstances, greater than the people that don't like you. And even the people who, maybe when you were young, the teacher said, oh, you're not that smart, or you're not going to amount to anything, or that person who said, you're a loser, you're this, you're that. That doesn't mean anything to God. Hallelujah. You have the power to turn the switch on or off. Because God gave you something very powerful. He gave you a free will. Choose you this day whom you will serve, the Bible says. You have a choice. And no matter how hard the devil tries, he cannot get you to hate. He cannot get you to love. That's your choice. You have a choice. Nobody can take that away from you. God gave you that freedom. Hallelujah. However, history is full of examples of unfinished products and projects. And I don't want any one of us, including myself today, to be an unfinished piece of art or an unfinished masterpiece. There are some famous paintings that were unfinished. You can look them up. Da Vinci and Rembrandt and some of the other great artists left some paintings unfinished. There's a famous painting of our president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in 1945, after World War II. He sat for a session where he was going to be painted by a famous artist. And after several days, he wasn't feeling well. And during the week that this painting was being taken, he was sitting for these portrait sessions. He suddenly became ill, and he fell over and had a stroke. And 2 days later, he died. That painting is still around. You can look at it online. It's in the Little White House in Warm Springs, Georgia, where he used to have a personal retreat, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Unfinished painting. There are some famous unfinished buildings. One of them is called the Palace of the Soviets. This was the idea of one of the Soviet dictators, Stalin. Stalin decided that he was going to show the world that communism was greater than any other ideology. And so near the Kremlin, there was a church, called the Church of our Savior, Jesus Christ, an Orthodox Russian church. He had the church destroyed in 1931, had it exploded. He just blew up the church. And he wanted to build this gigantic building that was going to look like some kind of a tower. Reminds you of the Tower of Babel, you know. And it was going to be the tallest building in the world. And on top of it, he was going to put a statue of Lenin, one of the founders of communism. The statue itself was over 260 feet high. The building was going to be taller than the Empire State Building. But guess what? It never got built. Because around 1937, 1939, the war began to break out. The rumblings of the Second World War began to happen in Eastern Europe and so on. And they stopped. They built a foundation, but they never were able to build it because the materials, the steel and the cement and all of that stuff was needed for the war effort. So when Nikita Khrushchev became the leader in Russia in the 50s, all he had was a big foundation with a hole. So he said it was so embarrassing because this was supposed to be the palace of the Soviets, the crowning achievements of communism. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll turn it into a swimming pool. And that's what he did. He turned it into a big swimming pool. The plans of man may fail, but the plans of God will never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And by the way, they rebuilt the Orthodox Church. They gave permission to rebuild that beautiful church. The Church of our Christ, our Savior, is there now in Russia. But an amazing story. But I don't want to be an unfinished masterpiece. How about you? We have the power to say yes to God, or we have the power to say, no, God, I've had enough. I can't take it, or I'm discouraged, or I don't want to know any more about faith. It's too hard. I don't know what's going on with you today or where you are in your spiritual progress, but I feel like God is saying to us, there's more. Yes. Let's not give up. There's a work that God wants to finish in us. Yes. All the great Christians and people in the Bible that you admire and that inspire you, guess what? They all had one thing in common. They all started out as a big ball of clay. I was going to say blob, but that sounds a little insulting. Say, I'm not a blob. Hallelujah. Thank God. We all started out as a big ball of clay. Have you ever seen a video of a potter working on a piece of clay? It's a remarkable thing to watch. How he takes that blob of clay and he begins to fashion and squeeze it and spin it on the wheel. And little by little, he turns it into a beautiful vessel. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are the Father. We are the clay. You are the potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. Isaiah 64, verse 8. We are the work of God's hand. God's still shaping us. I am the potter. He is the clay. Will you let God keep working on you? Will you say yes to the Holy Spirit? Will you say no to the flesh? Will you say no to discouragement? Will you say no to giving up? Who am I speaking to this morning? Some of you may feel like you come to a cul-de-sac or a wall and you hit that same wall over and over again. And God is saying to you, I am not finished yet, for eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared. God has a great future. God has a great vision for your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Amen. Don't be like that man who said, God, give me the patience of Job, and I need it right now. It takes time to develop patience. It takes time. Say it takes time. Amen. If we persevere, we shall receive what is promised. I want to say that again. If we persevere, we will receive what has been promised through faith and patience. Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Peter, Mark, Paul, all had this in common. They allowed God's hand to continue the work that he started. Will we allow God to continue his work in our life? I can tell you something. We may procrastinate. Somebody, can I get a witness this morning? Anybody ever procrastinate? Anybody have a garage that never got cleaned? You say, don't worry, honey, I'll clean the garage. I see some wives raising their hand right now. We may procrastinate, but God never leaves anything unfinished. Give God a hand. God never leaves anything unfinished. God doesn't do random, and he doesn't make any mistakes. I am certain, Paul says, that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. This is for someone today. You know, we're in a partnership with God. We're in a partnership with God. Paul explained this to the church. He said, work hard to show the results of your salvation because God is at work in you. In other words, in this verse, what he's saying is that the motivation, the incentive for us to work hard with our salvation and to make something of ourselves, make ourselves the best Christian we can be, is the motivation that God himself is working with us. The reason I have this hope this morning, because God is invested in the completion of my life. Amen. Yeah. The reason I can say to you confidently this morning, don't give up. I can say to you, God's not finished yet, because God is invested in finishing the work he started. Amen. I am confident that God who began this work will continue. Amen. And then he says, but you must work with God. Everybody say, I must work with God. The grace of God towards you is something that you have to get a hold of. When you sense God's trying to draw you closer, you sense God's trying to work on an attitude in your life, you sense God is trying to bring you to some area where you've not been before in terms of your faith, you're having to stretch, you're having to grow, you're having to have more love, you're having to have more faith. Don't resist it, but receive the grace of God to go there. Go to the new vistas, the new places, the new land where God is trying to lead you by His Spirit. Because it says God is working in that growing edge of your life. So I want you to take 60 seconds right now and think about, what is the growing edge of my life? If I was a building, you know, what part of the building is God working on right now? If I was a piece of art, a work of art, what part of the painting is God working on right now? Is it my heart? Is it my head? Is it my words? Is it my prayer life? What is it that God's working on in my life? You might say, Pastor, you have no idea how hard I fight or how difficult my situation. And I know some of you very well, and you know our situations very well. We all have struggles. We all go through some stuff that's really hard. But, you know, I want you to notice Jesus himself submitted to the potter's hands. Jesus, the Son of God, our example in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, Hebrews 5, 7, it's on the screen. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Where would we have been if Jesus did not submit himself to the Father? The reason some of you are stalled, I just got this. I really believe this is a word from the Lord. The reason some of us are stalled is because there's a deeper level of submission. It says here, he was heard because of his reverent submission to the Father. He completed his task because he fully obeyed God. He was able to say on the cross, it is finished. Not I am finished, but it is finished. Somebody say amen. Amen. He finished the work that God gave him to do. And he is our example who submitted himself to the Father. Throughout scriptures, we see there's a track record. No matter what obstacles people have faced, if they were willing to say, it's not finished yet, God's got a plan. If they're willing to say, I believe in God, it's not my will, it's His will that's going to be done. Amen. Yes. They saw some amazing miracles. The armies of Israel were often overwhelmed and outnumbered by enemies all around them. They cried out to God. They relied on God. Yes. I love this verse in 1 Chronicles 5, verse 20. Watch this. They were helped. The army of Israel was helped against the enemy, the Hagarites, and all the others who were with them. And they were given over into their hand. In other words, they won the battle. For they cried out to God in the battle. And he answered their prayers because they trusted in him. I want you to say that last part with me. For they cried out to God in the battle. And he answered their prayers because they trusted in him. Wow, is that encouraging? It doesn't say they didn't face battles. But what it says is they learned the secret of saying, God, this is not how it's going to end. Amen. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. Once in a while, you got to tell the devil, devil, you're a liar. Yes. You're a liar. This is not how it's going to end. God knows the end of my story. My story is being written between me and God. Hallelujah. I've got a great author in my life. I got a great finisher in my life. I've got a great architect in my life. Hallelujah. I've got a great artist in my life. Hallelujah. God is at work within me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Lord says to you this morning, I have a new season. Hold on to your faith. The Lord says a new season is coming. Don't give up on your faith. The Lord wants to encourage somebody else this morning. Keep doing what's right. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. You might say, Lord, I'm tired of being Mr. Nice Guy on the job. I'm tired, Lord, of forgiving that person who keeps on hurting me. I'm tired, Lord, of turning the other cheek. I'm tired, Lord, of waking up in the morning and feeling my life is not complete. God says there will be a due season. Do not be weary in doing well. Keep doing what's right. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep doing what's right. Turn to your other neighbor. Keep doing what's right. In due season. There's a due season coming. Hallelujah. The reason the pull and destiny of God is so strong is because God is invested in it. He wants to see you a finished product. In Ephesians 2, it says that throughout the endless ages of time, we will be held up as trophies of God's grace. Woo! We don't even know about the coming ages of time, eons of time. God says we're going to be held up and say, that's my master. Look at this person. Look at this person. The devil said they weren't worth anything. Look at what I did. Look at what I did for the glory of my name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The power and the pull of God's destiny. Paul the apostle said, no matter what happened before, and all the struggles I go through, and even all the good things, all my credentials as a doctor of theology. He was a doctor of theology, brought up under the ministry of Gamaliel, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He says, all of those things don't matter at all. What matters is, he says, I want to focus on the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to get a hold of that thing, that purpose for which God got a hold of me. You think you're here by accident this morning? I want you to know God has a plan. He has a purpose. The reason he saved you, the reason you were born into the family of God, a Christian family, the reason you're sitting in a Christian church this morning, God has his eye on you. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And guess what? He's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. Hallelujah.